Okay. Yeah. I don't know. You know, you'll probably be about as good as I was. That's kind of the way it works, you know, and I was below average. You know, So you'll probably ultimately rank somewhere around there, you know, so I really, you'll excel at a lot of things, just not this. I don't want you out here shooting this ball around all day and night, all right?
All right.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Hey. Don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something. Not even me. All right?
All right.
You got a dream, you got to protect it. People can't do something themselves, they want to tell you you can't do it. You want something, go get it. Period.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us today. We're starting a new series called At the Movies. We've done this periodically over the years. It's just something fun. You know, it's a summer series. And, you know, a lot of times you go to the movies in the summer. It's taking movies that we watch. We think that movies are just for fun. But a lot of times there's some incredible storylines behind that. And we're taking them and we're applying some of these movies and applying them to life and to Scripture and seeing how we can learn lessons from everything around us. This is a movie called Pursuit of Happiness, and it's the story of a man by the name of Chris Gardner. And if you look, it's actually based upon a true man and a true life, his life story, and how Chris had grown up with a rough life. Chris had his parents were separated. He was didn't really even know his dad. He grew up with his mother. His mother was in an abusive relationship. He went through a very rough time throughout his life, and then when he graduated beyond that, he went to the Navy and he was trying to get his life on track, but constantly struggling. And he was on this pursuit of what he calls happiness, looking for it. And in the middle of that, he lost everything. He was selling medical equipment. He carried around medical equipment, was selling it back in the early, late 70s, early 80s, just trying to make ends meet. In the midst of this, he had a young son. And in this process, his wife at the time, she left him. And she said, first she took the son, then she brought the son back after only a couple months. And said, "Here, take him. I don't even want him." And so he was dealing with the loss and abandonment of everything that he was facing. And as he walked into life, he began to realize he was discouraging people around him. And so we're going to take a look at his life and some of the things that he had to go through. But look at how it parallels to us. Because the truth is, today, all of you have dreams. Nobody wakes up in life and says, "I wish I could be a failure." We all have dreams and aspirations around them. But sometimes it's the way we look at things. Sometimes it's our perspective that has a profound impact on our lives. And we don't often recognize that. We think that it's simply just life and we're walking through it. But it's not simply true, because there are literally things around us. There are constant competing agendas and areas that we face and difficult situations all around us that have a direct impact on us. Because the truth is, in your life, at some point, somebody has discouraged you. You had a dream, you had an aspiration. Somebody discouraged that dream, discouraged that aspiration. Or maybe even worse, you begin to discourage yourself of your own dreams. Because what we find is, we are often our worst enemy. We are often our worst critic. We're often the ones that beat each other, beat ourselves up the most. I came across this research in this process over the last week, and it really impacted it. It's something I just began to process and think about. And it simply says this, that the average person speaks about 150 to 200 words a minute. That's the average person. I know some you may know can do that faster, right? But the average person speaks 150 to 200 words a minute. The average mind, the other average listener, can comprehend about 500 words a minute. But listen to this. The average person can comprehend in an inner dialogue, in other words, when you talk to yourself, 1,300 words a minute. How is that possible? Because your mind sees in pictures. And the truth is today, if we get down to it, many of you, your mind is constantly racing. And I'm asking you today, what are you telling yourself? Is it words of encouragement? Is it words of discouragement? Is it how you don't measure up? Is it what God can do for your life? You see, these are the processes that we all face because everybody is going through trials. Everybody's going to go through situations, but it's how do we, the question today is how do we eliminate the negative self-talk so you can become a more confident person? How do you become all that God created you to be? How do you do that? Because what we do is we beat ourselves down. I'm not perfect. This is where I fail. If I could just be smarter, if I could just be thinner, if I could just have, you know, if my wife and I could just get together, if I could just handle my boss at work, if I could, you know, it's always something. There's always something. And usually it's always how we don't measure up. And we beat ourselves down over and over and over. And so I'm going to give you a couple of tips today that I believe that help, that we can see from Scripture, that help us process and see how we can become more self-confident. We can be all that God called us to be. And we, as we're looking at Chris's life today, one of the things I think that is very evident is you have to choose honesty over denial. You have to choose honesty over denial, because the truth is, in all of our lives, at some point, you want to believe that, you know what, I'm just not here. I'm not in this situation. I'm not going through this. Everything's okay. You know, or even worse, we try to create this utopia, this idea that everything is okay when the reality is it's not. Honesty at its core is huge because it sets the foundation for what God wants to do. Proverbs 12:22 says this, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth." You see, in your life, you're going to be faced with opportunities where you can lie, opportunities where you can stretch truth, opportunities where you can try to create a different environment. But when you choose honesty, it changes everything. Take a look at this situation in his life.
Mr. Garland. This way.
Gardner, good to see you again. Chris Gardner, pleasure. I've been sitting out there for the last half hour trying to come up with a story that would explain my being here dressed like this. And I wanted to come up with a story that would demonstrate qualities that I'm sure you all admire here, like earnestness or diligence or team playing to something. And I couldn't think of anything. So the truth is, I was arrested for failure to pay parking tickets.
Parking tickets?
And I ran all the way here from the Polk station, the police station.
What were you doing before you were arrested?
I was painting my apartment.
Is it dry now?
I hope so.
Jay says you're pretty determined.
Oh, he's been waiting outside the front of the building with some 40-pound gizmo for over a month.
He said you're smart.
I like to think so.
And you want to learn this business?
Yes, sir, I want to learn this business.
Have you already started learning on your own?
Absolutely.
Jay.
Yes, sir.
How many times have you seen Chris?
No, I don't know. One too many, apparently.
Is he ever dressed like this?
No. Jacket and tie.
First in your class? In school? High school?
Yes, sir.
How many in the class?
12. It was a small town.
I'll say.
But I was also first in my radar class
in the Navy, and that was a class of 20. Can I say something? I'm the type of person, if you ask me a question and I don't know the answer, I'm gonna tell you that I don't know. But I bet you what, I know how to find the answer, and I will find the answer. Is that fair enough?
Chris, what would you say if a guy walked in for an interview without a shirt on? And I hired him, what would you say?
He must have had on some really nice pants.
Oh, man. So in this situation, Chris is looking for a way to provide for his family because he feels like happiness will be when he reaches it. And he sees a guy prior to this clip. He sees a guy in a Ferrari. He says, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm a stockbroker." So he actually is applying at Dean Witter to become in this internship. And as he gets there, he has faced with a situation because he was painting his apartment because he was trying to get things ready, but he got evicted from his apartment. Then he had parking tickets. And, you know, around us, the truth is, with our lives, what do we want to do? We want to say, well, this is why. We want to blame it on others. We don't want to deal with the harsh truth of sometimes the way things are. And we look at this and we just don't grasp it. But when you see this process, you see it's so true in our lives. You have to choose honesty over denial. Sometimes things aren't going well. And yet we do this all the time. We hit it on in the last series. You know, people ask, how are things going? Great. They're not going great. But we say that. We act as if things are great. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes we're going through hard times. But you have to realize that honesty is critical. Proverbs 19 verse 1 says, it's better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and a fool. You say amen to that. I mean, it's better to be poor and honest than dishonest and a fool. Now, here's why. Because honesty, it sets the stage for God to do the work in your life. When you set that foundation and say, God, I'm going to trust you, even though things aren't looking right, even though things aren't great, I recognize that. I'm not going to try to act as if everything's perfect, but I recognize this is where I am. But I can move forward from here. Because you see, what that does is it places you in what's known as a present reality, a current reality. It's just where life is. But if you don't know where you are, you'll never know where you're going. And sometimes you're going to have opportunities to stretch that, but you have to choose to be honest. The second principle we see is that know your thoughts determine your feelings, and your feelings determine your actions. Your thoughts determine your feelings, and your feelings determine your actions. So look at it like this. When you begin to think negative about yourself, when you begin to think that God can't use you, you begin to think that you're not good enough, you know what happens? You begin to feel like you're not good enough. You begin to feel as if there is no hope for your situation. And then what happens? You begin to act on those feelings, and it directly affects you. Scripture in Proverbs chapter 4 explains it like this. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. What is it saying? It's saying you need to know your thoughts, because your thoughts are going to affect your feelings, and your feelings are going to affect your actions. You may think it's simply just a thought, but you know what? It's going to affect you. One of the things I tell my kids all the time, and you've probably heard it, is if you think you can't or you can, you're right. Whether you think you can't or can't, you're right. Because when you begin to say that, you begin to verbalize that, what happens? You begin to live it. And it becomes affecting, it begins to affect your lifestyle, your thoughts, everything you do. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Letting you know that the words you say, the thoughts that you have, they directly affect your life. The third principle we see here is that if you want to change your life, you've got to control what you think. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish the arguments of every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, I want you to say this with me. We take captive, say it with me, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. How do you take captive of it? You literally say, look, I am not going to allow these thoughts to control me. I'm going to make them obedient to Christ. I'm going to think on life. I'm going to choose life instead of death. I'm going to choose that, you know what, even though the situation around me is horrible, I'm going to choose life. Because you cannot live life without facing problems. You cannot live life without going through difficult situations. But it's what you choose to do with it. It's how you choose to react to it that makes an impact in your life, that can change the way you think, that can help. It's taking that captive, that thought. In this next clip, we see where Chris now has his son, and he's in the middle of this grueling interview process, this internship with no pay, trying to make ends meet. He's been evicted from his apartment. He's been evicted now from a motel, and he has nowhere to go, but he has a young son with him, and he's trying to decide what to do.
It's not a time machine. Dad, it's not a time machine. The guy said it was a time machine. It's not a time machine. He was wrong.
What guy?
The guy. He was at the park. He said it was a time machine.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
All we gotta do is push this black button right here. You wanna push it?
Okay.
Come on, man. Right here. Wait a minute. Where you want to go?
Almost. Some place from before.
You gotta close your eyes.
You close your eyes. I want to see.
All right, come on. We'll push it together. You gotta close your eyes. Close your eyes. Oh, my goodness. What? Open, open, open.
Oh. What is it?
Dinosaurs.
Where?
You don't see all these dinosaurs? Look around. Look at all these dinosaurs. Did you see them?
Yeah.
Hey, come on, come on, come on. Wait, watch out.
What is it?
Don't step in the fire. We're cavemen. We need this fire because there's no electricity and it's cold out here, okay?
Watch out! Watch
Whoa,
out!
Oh my goodness! A T-Rex! That's a T. Get your stuff! Get your stuff! Get it! Get it! We gotta find someplace safe.
Like what?
We need a cave.
A cave?
We gotta find a cave. Come on! Come on! Come on! Wait, watch your back! We got it. Here it is. Here's a cave. Come on! Right here! Right here! Go! Go! Go!
Chris Gardner's memoir speaks of this moment, which a movie predicts here and shows how the fear that he had being lost in a city with a kid, not knowing what to do, and trying to create an environment where his kid knew that everything was okay, but the realities were facing him so strong in life, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know if he would be hired on at Dean Witter. He didn't know if he even had an opportunity. He was just pursuing what he thought would be happiness. In an article related to it, his son, Chris Gardner Jr., was asked, "Do you remember the moments when you were living in a subway bathroom? Do you remember the moments when you were on the streets all alone?" His son said, "You know, it's funny." He said, "I can't remember those exact moments of what we lived in, where we lived. I just remember we had to move and keep going, but everything was okay." Because you see, the perspective that you have upon yourself, what you begin to think about, and you begin to process, those thoughts become feelings. Those feelings then turn into actions, and you begin to beat yourself up. Because in our lives, if you're a typical to the human race, you're your own worst critic. It's always what you could have done better. There's a part of us that we talked about before, denial, where we want to blame everybody else for our problems. But when you get down to the heart issue, you begin to start feeling the reason you're blaming others is because you feel like you're a failure. You feel like you don't measure up. And what you don't recognize is that is a lie of the enemy. That's a trap of the enemy. Because he gets into your head and makes you want to quit. He makes you want to give up. He makes you want to believe that you're useless. He makes you want to believe that God can't use you. God doesn't want to use you. And you begin to buy into that, and you begin to think there's never hope. You'll never get out of the situation you're in. You're always going to be in this situation. You're always going to be facing this problem. You're always going to be behind. It's just this constant battle. You're never going to arrive. But the truth is, when you begin to process that and look through it through Scripture, you see differently. That's why he says, guard your heart. Take captive every thought. Why? Because it begins to shape who you are. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "And now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts." Take captive your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Listen, fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. In other words, don't think about all the issues, all the weakness and all the struggles and how you don't add up. Think about how you are a child of God, that God has his hand up on you. God wants to use you, which is leads me to the next part here is number 4. Focus on the character of God and what he wants to do in your life. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn and know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." So when you're honest with yourself, when you recognize that, hey, I struggle, I'm not perfect, I need help, it sets the foundation for God to come in. Then when you begin to guard your heart and say, "Lord, I'm going to give you my heart, I'm going to trust you," he comes into your life and begins to help you, changing the way you think, help you capture those thoughts. Because even when you follow Christ, even when you know Christ, there's still going to be struggles, there's still going to be problems, but now you have someone to help you through them. And so in the midst of those grueling situations, you can say, "God, I need you. I'm taking captive these thoughts. I'm going to focus on what you have for me. I'm going to focus on your character and who you are." And here's the byproduct. When you do that, number 5, peace and happiness then come. How? From knowing Christ and being content in him alone. So we read Philippians 4:8, where it says, to fix our thoughts on him. But look on in verse 11 in Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content in whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." That's the scripture you hear all the time, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But what is he talking about here? He's talking about fixing my eyes, my thoughts on Jesus. Because the problems around us are often so loud, they just hurt our ears. But we have to change our eyes, shift our focus and say, "God, I'm going to fix my thoughts on you. I recognize things around me aren't well. I don't know what I can do for them. I don't know what I can do to to them. But by focusing on them, what happens? They expand. It's that principle. What you focus on expands. So when you focus on the negativity, it expands. But when you begin to focus your thoughts on Christ, you focus your thoughts on the character of God, you become content in Him, and you recognize that He's all you need. He's everything that you're looking for. He's the hope. He's the peace. He's everything that you need. And He begins to shift your thinking in the way things happen. In this next clip, Chris is at the end of this process. Out of hundreds of guys that are all trying for this one position, one, they're at the end of it. Only one's going to get it. They've been doing this for literally months, and they don't know if they're even going to get paid. They haven't been paid. They don't know if they're going to make it. But Chris now comes to the end of his rope. Let's take a look.
Yes, Mr. Johnson, Chris Gardner, Dean Witta. Yes, sir. Just calling to thank you very much for your support at last month's seminar. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir. No, sir. That's it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Chris, come.
Hi, Chris.
Mr. Fromm, good to see you.
Nice shirt.
Thank you, sir.
Chris.
Hey, Jimmy.
Chris, sit down, please.
I thought I'd wear a shirt today, you know, being the last day and all.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that. But wear one tomorrow, though, okay? Because tomorrow is going to be your first day. If you'd like to work here as a broker. Would you like that, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Good. We couldn't be happier. So, welcome. Was it as easy as it looked?
No, sir. No, sir, it wasn't.
Good luck, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Oh, Chris. I almost forgot.
Thank you. This part of my life, this little part, is called happiness.
His memoir, he goes on and he talks about how that determination, that grit, that willingness to fight, it began to show that when you don't quit, there is a reward at the end. If you know anything about his story, he goes on to be a very successful stockbroker and ended up opening his own company of Gardner and Rich in 87. And that stockbroker company began to become very successful. And in 2006, in that process, he got married and had another child. And he began to settle into life. And in 2006, he sold that company for multi-millions of dollars. and decided to no longer be in the stockbroking business, instead create a foundation. He spends over 200 days of a year traveling around the world, spreading hope, letting people know that you can make it, you can do it. And it's just a neat story, you know, and you see, because sometimes in our lives, some of you are sitting here today and you think, I can't make it. I don't know how I'm going to go on. I don't know how I'm going to make it. But can I tell you something? You can make it. God has a plan for you. We know that happiness, as we just read in Philippians 4, it comes from contentment in Christ. When you begin to find Him, you find, because you know what Chris discovered, even though he had all the money in 2006, there had to be more. It can't just be about the money, because the money, and we've talked about the last couple of weeks, the money does not fulfill you. Money does not bring the happiness to you. It's knowing Christ. It's finding Him, discovering Him, and focusing on Him. And when you do, you recognize you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. When you are content in Him, when you know that He is in control, you find peace. You see, it boils down to this. How are you going to do it? You want to overcome? You want to find the happiness, peace? It comes, one, when you choose honesty over denial. Two, when you know your thoughts determine your feelings and your feelings determine your actions. Three, when you begin to control the way you think. Four, when you focus on the character of God and what He wants to do in your life. And recognize, number five, that peace and happiness only come from knowing Christ and being content in Him alone. I want you to close your eyes and reflect on that this morning. If you're here today and maybe you don't know Christ, you don't have a relationship with Him, and you know, you've been pursuing happiness, you've been going after this peace and this happiness and hoping that it comes from God, hoping that you can find that happiness, but the truth is you're realizing today that it's empty. There's an emptiness inside, and you need God to come in and give you strength. If that's you today, I want to introduce you to the hope and the peace and the joy that you've been seeking. And that comes from knowing Jesus and having Him in your life. With no one looking around, I want to pray with you right where you're sitting here today. If you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, maybe you accepted Him at one point in your life. You asked Him to come into your life, but you know what? You've walked away. You don't know Him, and He's coming to you today, and He's just speaking to your heart. You can feel Him saying, hey, come back to me. Come back to me. Serve me. With no one looking around, I want to pray with you today right where you're sitting. If that's you, you're saying, hey, pray for me. I want to make sure that my heart is committed to Him. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. If you just make eye contact with me right now in the name of Jesus. Anybody here today, you're saying, hey, I want to commit my life to Christ. Amen. Anyone else? I want to rededicate my life to Christ. Anybody else? Amen. Anyone else? You're saying, I want to make a change. I want to make sure that my life is committed. Anybody else? That happiness I'm seeking, I want to find it in Him this morning. Praise God. Let's pray this morning. If you're one of the ones that accepted and made that decision, then as we pray, make this your prayer. Romans chapter 10 says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. The confession is the prayer. The belief is your actions and what you do. But I'm going to ask that we all pray together. If you're here and maybe you have accepted Christ, or maybe you didn't make that response, but you're feeling God tug on you, just make this your prayer today. And if you have accepted Christ, let it be a reminder of what God's done for you. But let's all join together, if we would, right now, and just pray. Let's pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.